Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a mica affected family in Donegal are being faced with further uncertainty as it's emerged their mortgage has been sold to a vulture fund. The mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District has described the practice of transporting hospital laundry to the other side of the country to be cleaned as a massive snub to Donegal. There are calls for the drink driving ban to be rolled out on an all-island basis, and Donegal County Council say they will be monitoring various locations this Halloween where waste materials for bonfires have previously been supplied by businesses. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, doctors and nurses are worried trolley figures will hit record highs this winter. The Irish Medical Organisation expects the number to hit 1,000 over the coming months, but the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation doesn't think it will be quite that high, but do believe it will hit huge figures. General Secretary Phil Nihay says the system simply can't cope.
The predictions are that the winter illnesses, once again, will put our system under tremendous strain. They're already under strain. We've more people on trolleys today, for example, than we had this day last year. So we know that progressively our system is under more and more pressure.
A mica-affected family in Donegal are being faced with further uncertainty as it's emerged their mortgage has been sold to a vulture fund. Karen Murtagh received a letter from Ulster Bank in September informing him that his loan had been transferred to a vulture fund just weeks prior to the announcement of a redress scheme for the homeowners affected by the defective block issue. Faced with the choice between paying for repair work to save his home from being condemned and keeping up his monthly mortgage repayments, Mr. Murtagh decided to get the construction work done and is now €20,000 in arrears. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, he says clarity is needed as to where he now stands.
I sent a letter to Joe McHugh last week, secretary of the government, Dave Kerry, and he says to me, if it was with the banks, we should maybe set up a meeting or something like that. But because of the vulture funds, I think we're in deeper water here, and we have no talking to them. They have bought a worthless house now, and I suppose it's no good to them because it's crumbling, and it's no good to me because it's not fixed. There I am sitting waiting on the redress, and I get this letter 2 weeks beforehand, and I don't know. The nightmare continues. The banks, there's a lot to be, live up to these banks because, you know, when I talk to people and they say, I never had any bother with that bank or this and that and other, you know, I say, that's because you never missed a payment. You know, you miss a payment on a bank and that's it. Lights out, they don't want to even talk to you. It's gone on a very, very long time now, to be honest, eh? And it's hard on the family. And I don't know. I don't know where it's going to end, to be honest.
The Department of Education's confirmed 3 schools affected by structural defects will partially reopen after the midterm break. Initial structural checks on 42 schools constructed by Western Building Systems, including Letterkenny Educate Together, will be completed this evening. Tom Swift reports.
Contractors are now carrying out work to allow for the reopening of the ground floors of Tyrrellstown Educate Together National School, St Luke's National School and Gaelscoil Éisc Go Riada in Lucan. The Department of Education says displaced classes from these schools will be temporarily accommodated at other locations with transport provided. Meanwhile, external works are being carried out at Scoil Cosleen Maud in Talla and Castle Mills Education Centre in Balbriggan, which it's expected will allow them to fully reopen after the midterm break. Initial assessments of all 42 schools built by Western Building Systems should be completed by this evening. The results will be analysed by engineers and department officials, and decisions on any action to be taken should be passed on to teachers and parents in the next day or two.
The mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District has described the practice of transporting hospital laundry to the other side of the country to be cleaned as a massive snub to Donegal. It's after claims that Letterkenny University Hospital is sending most of its laundry to County Cork to be washed on an ongoing basis. In the past, the hospital had their own laundry service in which up to 18 people were employed. Councillor Ian McGarvey believes that the money will be better spent on reinstating a similar service in the county.
And if you look at 18 alone, you're talking about 30,000 per year. It's 500 for 40,000, we'll say, over a year, being distributed in the local community. So those are the concerns I'm expressing. And I think that before such things is done like this, some consideration should be extended to, we'll say, who's been put out of work, particularly in Donegal, where we have such deep profession. And as I said at council meetings, I'm not afraid to say it here again today, and that is this: when you get people outside Donegal referring to Donegal as being deprived and loss of services and other things, and you only have the post office and Garda closures and all the other stuff, I'm not going to go into that detail today, but nevertheless it has a big impact on the income and the economy of Donegal as a county.
Now, the hospital may claim that using this company in Cork is more cost effective to the running of the hospital long term.
Shall I say to you, I said to you already, and I have no question at all about what the hospital will contain, but I'm just suggesting let's look at the overall picture for Donegal. Why don't we have such a service established in Donegal, multiplied, catering for all the things, and still saving money? I'm talking about the options open to any government or any department looking at such services, and HSE particularly. And I can certainly guarantee to you that'll be the first thing they'll come up with. Oh, it's more beneficial, it's cost effective and all the rest of it. Why can't we provide such a service in Donegal?
A major new survey carried out in Letterkenny has found shoppers and business owners feel the town would benefit from an improved public realm, additional residential accommodation and further investment in its built cultural and natural heritage. It also showed 93% of business operators feel Brexit will have a negative impact. The survey carried out to identify the strengths and opportunities for Letterkenny has been launched today by the Heritage Council, Queen's University Belfast and Donegal County Council. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The report focuses on the survey results of a number of key indicators of the overall health of the town centre, including level of town centre activities, land, building use, commercial mix, pedestrian footfall patterns and business operators and shoppers' perceptions of the quality of the environment of the town. The survey showed that 93% of business operators feel that Brexit will have a negative impact on their business. 58% felt there was not enough public space in the town centre. Meanwhile, 93% felt that the connections between the main street and the retail parks were very poor, and 29% identified Main Street as their preferred retail location in Letterkenny. The completion of physical survey work, interviews and questionnaires informed a number of policy and design proposals to regenerate Letterkenny. The report will also help to inform plans for the future management of the town centre.
There are calls for the drink driving ban to be rolled out on an all-island basis. As of the 26th of October, any driver in Ireland found to be above the blood alcohol limit will receive an immediate driving ban. However, West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says it's farcical that people can drink drive in the north to a certain limit, yet people just across the border in Donegal face an automatic ban. He believes for the measure to be effective, legislation needs to be put in place that applies in both jurisdictions.
There is generally out there, if you look at the view of the mindset of society today, there's a zero tolerance for drink driving. And it's a deplorable situation that as a legislator, as an MLA for my constituency, I am being locked out of an assembly and locked out of government to make any change in this regard. But I can assure anyone out there that when the Assembly is restored, this will be something that I'll be bringing forward in the form of a private member's bill.
Do you feel that the contrasting laws now between Northern Ireland and the South, particularly border counties like Donegal, will find it a bit harder to regulate this new law because they're so different?
Yes, it is a bit of a difficulty, particularly when you look at where I represent in Strabane. It straddles along the border there with Lifford and the rest of Donegal. And it's absolutely ridiculous that given that we are in one island, we're in one country, that and although with different jurisdictions legally, I think that there should be some parity on this issue. There has been things done in the past with governments, particularly with the Assembly and the government in the South, in relation to driving bans, particularly for those that have offences and that they carry over now to the North and vice versa. But we'd like to see something similar happen in this regard. And there's many people out there, since this news broke, that has been in contact with me, people that have lost a loved one on the road as a result of someone else that has been drunk behind the wheel or had alcohol in their system behind the wheel.
A primary school teacher won't be allowed to teach for at least a year after sellotape was placed across the mouths of five fifth-class students. The teacher, who cannot be named, has been found guilty of professional misconduct. Stephanie Rohan has the details.
This teacher was the first whose conduct was brought before a teaching council's fitness to practice inquiry. The inquiry heard she just started subbing in a primary school in 2012 when some of the fifth-class students became giddy during maths. There was messing and laughter, and the inquiry was told the teacher told the students to wish and threatened to put sellotape over their mouths. Five girls gave evidence that the teacher put tape on some of their mouths, or they did it themselves as they felt they had to. It was a mixed class, but only the girls had to do this, and when the teacher asked the boys if the sellotape should be removed from the girls' mouths, the boys said no. The school principal told the inquiry the girls were a bit shook afterwards and had little red marks around their mouths. The teacher's now been removed from the teaching register for a year after being found guilty of professional misconduct. She can reapply in 12 months if she wants, and the teaching council can then decide if they'll allow her back into the classroom or not.
Donegal County Council say they will be monitoring various locations this Halloween where waste materials for bonfires have previously been supplied by businesses. People are being warned against organising bonfires around the county, and anyone who witnesses any suspicious activity is also being asked to contact Gardaí or the local authority. Waste Awareness Officer with Donegal County Council, Suzanne Bogan, says while the number of bonfires has reduced in recent years, there has been a shift in the materials used, resulting in more harm being caused to the environment.
We have seen bonfires reduce in numbers over the last number of years, but I suppose traditionally they would have been made from natural materials, wood and straw, but in more recent years lots of waste materials end up on bonfires, such as tyres, mattresses, furniture, plastics, and these, once they're set on fire, create very harmful dioxins that are released into the atmosphere, you know. So we're trying to encourage people just to enjoy Halloween and, you know, to try and avoid, you know, attending a bonfire or avoid building a bonfire if possible.
Coupled with that, we've seen in years previous the fire service stretched to the limit, and, you know, more often than enough, maybe this could prevent them from attending a very serious incident because they're attending these bonfires.
Yes, well, I suppose between the fire service and our own council environment staff, we our environment staff would monitor a number of areas where in the past we have seen materials being collected for bonfire night. We might get calls from concerned communities, and you know, we will try our best where possible to maybe deal with some build-ups, but it can be difficult to catch them all you know, in the lead-up to bonfire night. So we would just appeal to people, look, don't provide waste materials to anybody collecting for bonfire night, and also to businesses, you know, to make sure that their premises are secure, and not to hand anything over to anybody collecting for bonfire night as well.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Track your daily fitness with a Fitbit or Garmin tracker from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with news of the organisers of the Liam Miller tribute match have revealed today that they've raised $1.5 million from the event. The one-off match between legends from Manchester United and a combined Republic of Ireland and Glasgow Celtic selection took place in front of a full house at Park of Kiev in September. That was in memory of the late Liam Miller, who passed away earlier this year. The event's organising committee chairman, Michael O'Flynn, made the announcement today at a briefing in Cork. The organisers revealed the breakdown of the funds raised would see €1 million put into a trust for Liam Miller's family for the purposes of providing for their long-term financial security. €250,000 will be donated to Marymount Hospice in Cork, where Miller received end-of-life care, while €100,000 will be donated to the Jack O'Driscoll Fund, as well as donations made to other local charities. In soccer news, there's mixed news for Spurs fans this afternoon. Dele Alli has signed a new contract, tying him to the North London club until 2024. The midfielder's new deal will reportedly see him double his wages. Meanwhile, Spurs are set to borrow an additional £237 million to cover the costs of their new stadium. The club were supposed to move back to a renovated White Hart Lane in September, but now won't be there until January at the very earliest. The new borrowings are set to increase the club's new debt to £600 million. Meanwhile, a book of condolence has been opened at Leicester's King Power Stadium for owner Vijay Srivaddhanaprabha. The Thai billionaire was among five people to die when his helicopter crashed shortly after takeoff from the stadium on Saturday night. The Leicester players will decide themselves if they return to action for Saturday's Premier League game with Cardiff. Tonight's scheduled EFL Cup fourth round tie with Southampton has already been postponed as a result of Saturday night's events. There's two fourth round ties do go ahead tonight. Bournemouth, they play host to Inform Championship side Norwich, while Nigel Clough's Burton Albion, they play host to his former side Nottingham Forest. Both games kick off at 7:45. Elsewhere, Stoke City have backed James McLean's decision not to wear a Remembrance Day poppy this month. The Derry man is continuing the stance which he has held at Sunderland, Wigan and West Brom. In a statement, Stoke says they recognise the poppy means different things to different individuals and they don't believe anybody should be forced to wear one against their free will. Up in Scotland, Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers says they're taking Lee Griffiths' recovery from a calf injury a day at a time. The striker hasn't played since their 6-0 win over St Johnstone earlier this month. Rodgers says they're not sure how long he'll be out for, but he isn't optimistic that he'll be back in time for Scotland's next set of international fixtures. In Gaelic games, there's growing calls for clubs to be compensated as another young player leaves for the AFL. Sligo teenager Redog Murphy has signed a rookie deal with North Melbourne. Murphy becomes the sixth young player to leave Ireland for a rookie contract with the AFL in the inter-county close season alone. Collingwood snapped up Derry's Anton Toohill and Cork's Mark Keane. Greater Western Sydney Giants took another Derry starlet in Callum Brown. Brisbane signed Stephen Ockenbour of Kerry, while Dublin James Madden, he departs for Brisbane. In rugby, Leinster have confirmed that Fergus McFadden will be out until the spring. The 32-year-old winger will miss the next 4 months, having undergone a procedure on a serious hamstring injury. And Rob Kearney, he will be assessed by Ireland medics this week, having suffered a knock to his shoulder in last weekend's win over Benetton in the Pro 14. And better news for the province, Dave Kearney returns to full training this week, having been out with a thigh injury, and is available for Sunday's game away to the Southern Kings. Elsewhere, Craig Gill, Roy Michael Lowry and Robert Bellicon, they're all doubts for Ulster's trip to Benetton on Saturday. Gilroy suffered a back spasm prior to Friday's win over the Dragons at Kingspan Stadium. Lowry picked up a quad injury and Bellicon a groin problem in the same game. All three will receive treatment this week in the hope that they can make the trip to Italy. Finally, for this evening in American football, the NFL have revealed that four regular season games will be played in London next year. Wembley Stadium has staged three games this term, most recently Sunday's meeting of Super Bowl champions Philadelphia Eagles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Next year, Wembley will host two games, with Tottenham's yet-to-be-completed ground also hosting two games. The teams and dates involved are yet to be revealed. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. And the next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. I'm returning to some news. There are calls on Irish Water to urgently review its plans for upgraded works in Inishowen. It's after a number of bursts occurred on the Malin Head supply at the weekend, leaving hundreds of homes and businesses without water. While 2 kilometres of the new water mains are in the process of being fitted nearby, the area where a number of the bursts are happening is not included in the replacement works. Local councillor Marshall McDermott says he will be meeting with Irish Water engineers this week in a bid to progress work on the remainder of the water main.
There's been a number of bursts in Malin since last Thursday, probably about 5 now at this stage. There are works going on at Malin Head at the minute. There's 2 kilometres of new water mains going down, but the section where a lot of these bursts are happening hasn't been replaced at the minute. I'm intending to meet with engineers this week to see could we get that section between the crossroads and the community centre of Malin Head, if that section could be replaced now when all the other works is happening, because you know that section has given bother for quite some time now. And look, it's great that the other sections of new water mains are going on at Malin Head, but this section here has been really, really temperamental, and hopefully if we meet with them this week, that we might be in a position to replace that section as well.
And how confident are you that the utility would take these concerns on board if their plan is so rigid to address specific issues in the first instance?
Yeah, that's the problem with Irish Water. They sort of put a plan in place and they stick to that plan, but you know, 5 bursts within 48 hours in Malin Head, you know, and this is a constant thing that's been happening now throughout the summer, I think is you know, should be in position to extend that main, which is really only about half a kilometre further down towards the community centre. And if that could happen, that would rectify a lot of the problems with the water in Malinhead.
A Donegal councillor has urged Peter Casey to investigate whether it's possible to forgo the return of his presidential campaign expenses in order to invest it in the county. Mr Casey's expenses are set to be reimbursed to him following his strong performance in the presidential election. During the campaign, he initially suggested he would not accept the presidential salary if elected, instead donating it to a different county council each month. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says Mr Casey's returned campaign expenditure could be well invested in Donegal.
Peter has got such a good voting election, and that entitles him to get his expenses back. I'm just suggesting that maybe he would like to donate that to Donegal County Council and let them choose suitable charities for it. And you know, there's plenty of them. And three that I mentioned were Donegal Hospice, for example, and also Peter House, and possibly Donegal Travellers project as well.
Weather now, dry for a time today. However, cloudy conditions with outbreaks of rain and drizzle will continue to spread this evening. Scattered showers tonight with a slight frost in some places and lowest temperatures of 0 to 2 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a mica affected family in Donegal are being faced with further uncertainty as it's emerged their mortgage has been sold to a vulture fund. Carl Murchaw received a letter from Ulster Bank in September informing him that his loan had been transferred to a vulture fund just weeks prior to the announcement of a redress scheme for the homeowners affected by the defective block issue. The mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District has described the practice of transporting hospital laundry to the other side of the country to be cleaned as a massive snub to Donegal. It's after claims that Letterkenny University Hospital is sending most of its laundry to County Cork to be washed on an ongoing basis. There are calls for the drink driving ban to be rolled out on an all-island basis. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says it's farcical that people can drink drive in the north to a certain limit, yet people just across the border in Donegal face an automatic ban. And a major new survey carried out in Letterkenny has found shoppers and business owners believe the town would benefit from an improved public realm, additional residential accommodation and further investment in its built cultural and natural heritage. It also showed 93% of business operators feel Brexit will have a negative impact. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, October the 30th. The death has taken place of Mary Ann McCullough, née Divine Moore, 59 Orchard Road, Strabane, and formerly of Ballykerry. Remains are reposing at her home tomorrow from 12 noon. Funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to Woodmount Residents Comfort Fund, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Raymond McLaughlin, Maryville, St Mary's Road, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there at 9:30 on Friday morning, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cock Hill Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Kathleen Morris, name Acrossan, 85 Innisfree Gardens, Strabane. Remains are reposing at her home this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving her home on Thursday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to Strabane MS Society, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Thecla Farron, formerly Tim's, Leakslip, County Kildare, and formerly of Fox Rock, Dublin and Mallon, County Donegal. Remains are reposing at her residence tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Removal from there going to the Church of Our Lady's Nativity, Leakslip, on Thursday morning for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Cremation afterwards in Glasnevin Crematorium. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to St James's Foundation, Brain Disease and Neurology. Thecla's Month Mind Mass will take place in Mullin and a date to be arranged. The death has taken place of Sheila Bradley, Gortlake, Linsfort, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Star of the Sea Church, Desert Hegney, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Nellie Doherty, Glack, Carndonagh. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Carndonagh Day Centre, care of Pat Kelly Funeral Director or any family member. Family time please from 12 midnight to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of May Coyle, Nay Coyle, Mulvey House, Strabane and formerly of Claddy. Remains are reposing at her daughter Rosalie McCool's home, 5 Castletown Road, Strabane. Funeral leaving her daughter's home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Columbus Cemetery, Dunnyloop. Donations in lieu of flowers please to Chest, Heart and Stroke, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Pat Nugent, 66A Duntaigh Road, Dreigish, Omagh. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church at Dreigish. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Churchyard, Knockmoyle. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director.